Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast is brought to you by Fretish.com. Fretish is a brand new service that enables you to rent your musical equipment to other local musicians and make money from your instruments while you're not on the road. If you have a collection of guitars, amps, pedals, or other musical kit, why not list it on Fretish and start connecting with musicians just like you? Listings are free and you set the price and conditions of your rental, as well as having full control to reject any rental requests. Check out Fretish.com and start making money from your guitar collection today. And welcome to the Guitar Nerds podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham, joined this evening by Jay Cross.
Hello.
And Joe Branton.
Hello.
It's not really the evening, is it?
I was going to say exactly that. Not the evening, the afternoon.
Because it's Easter.
Thrown off by the crazy bank holiday.
I hope all our listeners had a really nice bank holiday weekend. You know, going out, seeing their family, maybe spending at the pub or going out for a nice lunch. We're here. Making this.
Bringing you the goods.
For you. It's Bank Holiday Monday. No Matt Knight, though.
Bank Holiday.
Matt Knight said, oh, I can't do anything on the holiday. And I was like, well, when are we going to do the podcast then? He was like, up to you. Great. Thanks, mate. Cheers, man.
Well, there you go, dear listener. I hope you know now that the three of us are the dedicated ones. Joe, who's just sort of here because...
Who's barely ever here?
Yeah. And Mark, just I don't. Oh, I'm the dedicated one. You know,
I think,
I'm here.
I think important. if you add it up, I've been on the most podcasts over the 5 years. We're coming up to year three of Guitar Nerds. May.
Are we?
First week of May is year three.
Yeah. Holy hell!
What are we going to do?
Probably just not organise anything as always.
We keep saying that we're going to do something.
What should we do?
I don't know.
Listeners, what should we do?
Well, some sort of party, but then I put it in the Facebook group. I put it in the Facebook group and said, yeah, we're thinking about doing a live podcast. You know, how many of you would come? And then not enough people said yes. So
fair enough.
If you want to come to that.
It's difficult though, isn't it? Because, I mean, where would we do it? We live in Brighton.
I think we'd have to do it in that London.
I think yeah, we would have to do it in London. Do we have enough people that listen in London?
Evidently by the voting in the Facebook group. No. Yeah.
Well, I didn't see this vote. I wasn't consulted.
It was a while ago.
This.
So maybe we've got, you know, we've got enough followers now to want to get involved. But yeah, we could do something. Probably not in time for the third anniversary. Maybe the 200th episode, which will be this year at some point.
I think that's what 60 Cycle Hum did, wasn't it? They did a
big 200.
Yeah. See, my kind of concern is doing something and it not being as well attended or as popular as theirs.
I think you've got to do it somewhere mega small and then
and it'd be like, I sold out.
Sold out, mate, yeah.
Sold out. Yeah, well, there was only five seats and there's four of us.
Yeah.
So, you know.
That one guy.
Yeah, sold out.
Turned up, yeah.
There we go.
So, and if you've got any ideas, you know, do let us know in the old in the Facebook group. That'd be interesting to see what you think. And if you would, where would you go? Would you come down to Brighton for a nice weekend if we did it in the summer? Oh, it'd be nice and hot. Go to the beach. Maybe we could do a live podcast on the beach, have a barbecue.
What?
I'd probably not do that.
More importantly, how much are you going to pay to get out? What's your threshold?
That's the thing. If we do it on the beach, we can't charge anything, which
is
disappointing.
Yeah, no. I'm thinking, what's the running rate for a live stage show nowadays? 25, 35p or something?
Well, I'm sort of thinking, you know, we're up there with the great, we're up there with Book of Mormon sort of pricing, Cats.
Yeah. £80 to £95 a ticket.
I think something like that. I think
reasonable.
We'll do a cheap matinee.
You're getting similar production values to those things, so why not?
Yeah, just Joe in Kiss makeup.
I'd love to see Joe dressed up as Mr. Mistopheles from Cats. That would be. You don't know what that is, do you?
Nope.
Good. So, as well as it being the bank holiday weekend, it's also obviously ticked over into April now. So we've had the usual barrage of bad April Fools things. We're not going to do one, just letting you know, because firstly, it's past, and also they are rubbish. Did you see any that were particularly offensive?
I didn't see one that was...
What did Fender do?
I don't know. Did we do anything?
I didn't see a Fender thing.
I assume... maybe not.
I don't know. I mean, it was a Sunday, so the marketing department wouldn't have been at work.
No,
so.
Exactly. I woke up after 12 on April Fool's, so I'd missed it. And I was sort of like, ah... Like, I turned on my computer and obviously there were loads of them. And I was like, oh, I was going to think of one for work. And I didn't think of one or do one or think of one or do one for us. I don't think I'd have done one for us.
I'm sure we talked about something at one point and then
A few years ago, I thought they were all right. Like, I thought it was fine when people did them. And some of them were good.
Yeah.
Like, but a good one is kind of like a clever one or a subtle one. And now it's just like... It's just a bit overkill.
The problem for me is the good ones. Now, before we start recording the podcast, we were looking at the TC Electronic one, which in theory is good.
Explain the TC Electronic one.
Well, okay,
one,
so they've basically made a pedal that's got a butterfly on it.
It's the Goldblum butterfly effect.
Yeah,
that's great. That's hilarious.
Sure.
It's got Jeff Goldblum's face on it.
Sure, but... The thing about it now is if you're going to do an April Fool's thing, you have to spend so much time and effort doing the video and, you know, doing all the stuff for social. You kind of think, this wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth it, guys. I'm sorry. Not worth it. Whereas back in the day, I've talked about it before, but I'm pretty sure it's D'Addario ran an April Fool's that got... No, sorry. It was like Total Guitar or Guitarist ran an April Fool's that D'Addario had done a set of strings where every string was the same thickness and you could still tune them in the regular way so that when you were shredding, you know, it felt like you were shredding all over like a thin E string, but actually, you know, it was tuned. So, you know, obviously you would see through that, but we had a lot of people come into the shop and go, have you got these strings yet? Because it was just like really simple and it was funny.
Totally. I remember one from when I was a kid where one of the big car manufacturers did put an... Because this is the thing, is it's too instantaneous. It's too easy to do these things now.
Yeah.
Like, I remember this one. I can't remember who it was, but one of the big car manufacturers 15, 20 years ago took out an advert in a major UK newspaper that said, you know, self-driving cars come and... to get a test drive today or something like that. And I remember reading it being like, oh my God, it's a self-driving car. And think about how much that would have cost them to do.
Yeah.
Taking out a full page advert in a major UK newspaper. You just don't get that nowadays. I tell you what I did like about this one though, this year. I was driving my sister to a family thing that we did yesterday. And she was like, you see this thing about Virgin Atlantic? They're now offering to their business class customers an in-flight spin class and a gym. Isn't that... And halfway through the conversation, she went, oh.
But, see, that's what an April Fool's should do.
Completely.
And I kind of think people have maybe missed the point of it. The TC one's too far. It was like, it was obviously tongue-in-cheek. I think, you know, CS Guitars, you know, Colin Scott
yeah.
from Gitcon, he's done one with where he's made a flute. Now, he has also commented on this to point out that because of time zones, a lot of his American followers did not realise that this was an April Fool's. But I get it. To me, that seems too far as well, but at least he managed to convince some people.
One of our mates who lives in Vietnam.
Yeah, I got done by this 100%.
A couple of years ago. So he's in Vietnam, so they're 12 hours ahead or 10 hours ahead or something of us. And he put up a picture of him holding a kid, just being like...
Genius.
Just being like, well... I mean,
just wanted to tell you.
Just wanted to let you know I've decided to do the right thing, and you know, I've come back from a trip to Hanoi, and my mate who I hooked up with once, you know, turns out I'm a dad, and we all read it on the 31st of March, and Mark texts me like, "Is this legit?" And I was like, "I don't think so," but we'll just see and let it ride out. And of course, it wasn't legit.
See, I think next year we should do something where we are actually releasing a product, but we put out an April Fool's and we make it obvious.
Should we put out
at the beginning?
This
is an
ridiculous
April Fool's gag. Yeah. like that, and we just might go, yeah, no, no, you know, this is never going to come out, and then secretly we actually do release it.
We'd have to make something so ridiculous that people would think it's an April Fool's.
Yeah. Yeah,
a T-shirt with Joe Branton's face on.
Oh wait, hang on.
I tell you the one thing that I did really like about April Fools was it was quite late. It was just gone midnight, I think, on April 1st, and I started getting, and I was up and just doing stuff on my computer, and I got a load of notifications from the Facebook group. And I clicked on one, and someone had put up a picture of David Gilmour that just said R.I.P.
So dark.
And within 20 minutes, yeah, the post had been reported 6 times, and in the comments there was maybe 8 or 9 people calling for the person who posted this to be banned from the group because they were like, that is not funny, that is too far, where is an admin, why is there no admin here, why? And I just read it, I just thought it was absolutely hilarious at how upset everybody got over the whole thing. So I just deleted the thread. Like, if it was more hassle than it was worth,
yeah,
to leave it up there. But I thought that was quite a funny one.
Maybe that's the most basic form of April Fools you could do, but actually is the best.
Well, that or just, yeah, putting up a picture of a baby scan. What are they, yeah, called?
Sonogram.
Okay.
I think that's what they're called.
I've got no idea.
Ultrasound.
Ultrasound, yeah.
What's a sonogram? I think it's the same thing.
What's the name of the coolest person at the hospital?
Ultrasound.
The ultrasound guy. What about when he's on holiday? Oh, that's the hip replacement guy.
Dreadful. Joe Branton, tell us about a new thing you've been doing on the Instagram, Insta Effects.
Yes. Yeah, we've launched a little video serial on Instagram.
Serial, good use,
yeah,
of the word.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, so this is mostly dedicated to kind of verses, so I'm taking 2 examples of a type of effect, 2 relatively similar sounding pedals, and they're snappy sort of 30-second videos where you'll get kind of a brief 10-second clip of each guitar, and then I'm asking for people's opinions on which ones they prefer. But it's there's going to be loads of, basically all the pedals that we get sent through are going to feature in some way in a verses, except for compressors and clean boosts.
Because you can't tell any difference on Instagram.
Not when you're listening on a phone. No, exactly. So, and to be honest, I'm mostly doing modulation and delays. I did some drives, and I was just like listening back, and I was like, this is going to make no difference when it's on a phone.
Yeah.
So it's mostly modulation and delays. But yeah, it's just, they're kind of, it's a cool way to get a snappy review of a couple of boutique effects. So a bit overdone, the first one I put up, I used the JHS Pink Panther, which of course has you know, demos on all over the internet. Everyone knows how it sounds. But yep, it's a great sort of analog voice digital delay pedal. I think one of the best on the market. But I pitted it against the Anasounds Utopia delay, which is, I don't expect to be impressed by analog voiced digital delays anymore, or analog delays, because I have so many and I've heard so many, and I'm really into that sort of sound, and I know which ones are the best. So I don't expect to hear anything that overly impresses me, but that the Anasounds Utopia delay is absolutely banging for a really simple, like, 3-control digital delay pedal with like a switch for modulation, for like a preset amount of modulation. I think it's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it even sounded good when I was listening to it on the phone.
Yeah, exactly. And kind of good feedback in the comments. People seemed to prefer it, although I think I went for a slightly more saturated sound on the Pink Panther. It maybe wasn't quite fair.
It was a bit too warbly.
Yeah, I think so, retrospectively. But,
I mean, you know, you can't just, what's the point in pitting 2 sounds that are exactly the same up against
each
other.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of 6-1.
For
one
a
and half
fair
dozen.
Test, Jay, did you not learn anything in GCSE science?
Yeah, I mean, but my point is, you know, they're different pedals. How can you get them to sound exactly the same?
Sure.
Surely what you want to do is you want to pick a cool sound from one and a cool sound from the other,
yeah,
and say, well, look, this is what we think is the best sounding part of this pedal.
Yeah.
And these are both very similarly designed pedals, but... these are the different sounds you can get out of them, you know.
Absolutely. But, I mean, one thing from both of those pedals, I think that if you want a workhorse delay that does a bit of everything, that's quite a safe and reasonable sounding delay, like not too extreme, then either of those are just absolutely fantastic. But I can't get over how good the Utopia delay is. It's the best sounding delay I've heard in a long time.
Yeah, very, very nice indeed. With that, shall we dive into a big Easter egg sized barrel of
news?
I have to say, it's light on news this week because, again, we're in the nether zone between Winter Nam and Summer Nam.
Oh, yeah, there's nothing coming out. Well, there are some things coming out.
Do you know about things? You look to me like I know things that you don't know.
Well, there are some things that have arrived. That's not on here. We have spoken about them briefly, but like you know, because of course we had all the announcements from NAMM, but now is the point where stuff starts actually trickling through and
getting things.
Exactly. It's starting to hit the shelf. So a cool thing turned up at work at GAC the other day on Friday, which I immediately prevented from going down the shop and put next to my desk.
Sales and marketing.
Yeah. The first, because I believe it's something like one a month or something like that they're actually putting into circulation, the first Fender Parallel Universe.
Oh, yeah, which one turned
has
up?
Has arrived. So the first one that they're rolling with is the Stratelli or Telrat. whichever sort of name you want to
Telratocaster.
I think they're just calling it the limited edition Parallel Universe
Strat Telly.
Yeah, I think it is Strat-Telly. So it is the Telly body shape with a Strat scratch plate, Strat trem and pickups, and Strat neck as well. We've got it in a three tone, a three color sunburst with a maple neck. And a mint guard. So yeah, so we had a bit of a butcher's at that. Really weird. Really weird.
That really was one of my least favourite ones from guitar. The Parallel Universe, I have to admit.
Yeah.
Some people will love it, I'm sure, because, you know, some people have... Well, a lot of people have actually just made that guitar from, like, Bitzers and things like that.
Yeah, completely, sure, of course. Completely.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, it's not to my taste.
No, especially... I kind of felt, with the Parallel Universe things, I was like, if you're going to want something outlandish like this, surely you want to go full outlandish. So we're talking, like, bright colours, or at least, like, different colours and... you know, that sort of thing. So this one's a conservative, weird guitar because it's
a Strat and Telly.
It's three colour sunburst with a mint guard. It's like you couldn't get more conventional. So it's such a weird hybrid.
I'm sure it's one of those things where in a few years it'll be worth loads of money because they're just like, yeah, we never did this again.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite a lot of money now. I think they're like £1,800 that hit in the shelf. But also, the one thing I didn't realise was quite unusual about the neck, vintage tint, but satin.
Okay.
Which is weird. That's kind of like what Schecter do and like what ESP do on their necks, which I've never seen on a Fender. Fender are always one or the other. Their modern necks are unfinished, and their vintage necks are super glossy and vintage tinted. So this is a weird crossbreed of the two. Strat neck on it as well.
Are you getting the Strat that's got the Jazzmaster pickups in it?
Yes, I am not sure what the order is in which they're being sort of that they're being released, but yeah, this one was the first one.
What were the other good ones? There were some other really good ones.
The Meteora is the one that I really like. That's the one that's a new. Well, it's not a new body shape because it was it appeared about 4 or 5 years ago in a prototype as called something else. I can't remember what it was called.
These are the ones that look like the Lace guitars.
Squashed Telly
kind of offset but it's got those sort of Telly aesthetics. Very sort of futuristic. Then there was the Jazz Telly, then the Troublemaker Telly,
which is the Les Paul style Telly, two humbuckers.
What are you talking about?
It's
just a Telly with humbuckers and
Pelham Blue and
it's not Pelham Blue, and a small
Les Paul style scratch plate.
No, it's not. It's Ice Blue Metallic.
Oh, sure.
I don't know why it was called the Troublemaker Telly.
Yeah,
actually.
Exactly. They could have called it the Lol Pez.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The legal troublemaker.
Moving on. also the Telly Thin Line Super Deluxe. which is the one that absolutely doesn't look like a Gretsch 6120.
Oh, you own Gretsch. It's okay.
Yeah, I think we could say that.
You can
yeah.
do that one. You can do that one.
Although the team that look after Gretsch, we sit at the other end of the office. I'm not sure how happy they are about it, but that's fine. But that guitar looks really cool in the orange. And then there's the American Elite Nashville. So right. like the HSS one, very weird. I mean, I've never been a huge fan of the sort of middle pickup. I had a Nashville Telly for a while, and you know, it's what it is. And then the Jaguar Strat. So like the Jaguar,
yeah,
stuff in
there. That's one of the more interesting ones, I do think. And a few people have pointed out, like, there's the scratch plate is just weird on that one. Like they it could have been different.
Yeah, it could have followed the curve of the body a bit nicer.
But it's still, that one's cool. I'm looking forward to seeing that one.
And the other one that I think is that there's also that there's the 51 PJ bass, which is, you know,
is it just a PJ?
Well, yeah, but it's a PJ 51.
Right, okay.
So
yeah.
it's got the reverse, reverse pickup, pickguard.
And I think, which I think they actually released that exact thing as like a 60th anniversary, maybe. However long that was ago. I'm sure that exists.
2011.
Was it? Yeah, I'm sure that exists because the bass player from Warpaint, she plays one.
Right, okay.
So it's just like a 51 style P bass with a single
with a
coil and then a jazz bass.
Well, no, with a split and a jazz.
Oh, right, okay,
so
weird.
Not the single coil. In fact, Schecter do this in their Diamond
series. They do, yeah.
So you can get it kind of from them. In fact, in the same colours, but I think they did block... I think they did a maple net with block inlays as well.
I do think that's the first time we've mentioned Schecter twice in one podcast.
And then the last one, which I really like I just really like the idea behind this. I think this is a really, really clever idea. The white guard Strat. So rather than having a black guard Telly, this is a white guard Strat. So it's Telly guts in a Strat body.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah. So it's fantastic. It's got a proper Telly loadout.
That's the best. Jay's just showing me this on his laptop. That's the best looking one.
Of course it is, because this is actually something people have probably asked for as
completely,
well.
Completely, yeah.
Like double cut. It's a double cut Telly, which
kind
is...
of, yeah. And I just think it's just in general, I think I just really like the fact that they've called it the White Guard Strat. Because, you know, that Black Guard Telly is so iconic.
Yeah, of course.
That's exactly what this series is supposed to be, you know. And there's been a lot of kickback to all of these.
Just a bit.
People saying, like, why are you doing this, blah, blah, blah. Thing is...
It's been mixed, though. I think there's been some positive...
They were made to order, you know. Yeah. We only made as many as shops ordered.
Yeah.
So it's a limited run... It's cool, I think. I mean, I've got my name down for a Meteora.
Really?
Yeah, for sure.
You're going to have that and the offset Telly.
I don't know. I mean, by the time that this comes in, because I think the Meteora is scheduled for maybe October.
Right.
It's a little bit later in the year. So I don't know. Maybe I'll do something with the offset Telly. I'm decided. Okay. Maybe I'll keep it. I don't know. By that time, I wouldn't have bought a guitar for nearly 3 years, 2 years.
With the last one being the offset Telly.
The offset Telly, yeah, which I got in July 2016?
Yeah, 16.
Yeah. So blimey. It would have been like two and a half years nearly. So
blimey. I bought a guitar this week. But actually before I go into that, the other cool thing that came into work, other that's not a new thing, is, you know, like the pre-owned section at work is doing crazy good at the moment. Like I think helped by like that 62 ES.
The 335.
Yeah, that Jobo came in and bought. We took in a real 1952 Les Paul.
We were talking about this on our private text.
This is the gold.
Which,
top.
By the way, if you are interested in the top tier Guitar Nerds Patreon membership that gets you access to that, please let us know.
$500 a month
to cover any legal fees that you.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, I
we may incur
write some from- drunken.
We should never let anyone see that.
Oh, no. But yeah, we took in a real 1952 Les Paul Gold Top, which was fantastic. Probably for me, certainly, that was the first real 1952 Les Paul I've ever
got to play. What are you talking about? You had a real 1952 Les Paul about a month ago.
Lefty.
A lefty?
Yeah, a lefty one.
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, I couldn't really play that one. Okay, I actually got to sit with this one, which was great.
Did that one go by desk as well?
No, the left. Oh, this one.
Yeah.
No, you're not, like, it has to, with guitars over a certain value now, they have to be kept with the store manager at all times, like
in a lockbox.
Yeah, it's something to do with, like, you know, the amount of gear that I sort of take home and then forget about. They're not comfortable with me.
That's weird. Strange,
around
weird
stuff.
That. Weird.
Yeah, exactly.
Weird.
And like the amount of things that
draconian,
have turned up in the shop, like missing parts or damaged, and then they've seen that I've done a YouTube review on it like weeks before. Something random and rubbish about that anyway. But I got to have a bit of a bash and definitely did not drop this 1952 Les Paul Gold Top. But it has been heavily modified and refinished, so they've lost that cool tailpiece.
Yeah,
which is a shame. And it has been,
I mean, not for playing. Obviously, great. Clearly. Plays much better.
And it has been super refinished as well, so it kind of looks newish. But what's weird, which Jay pointed out, is that the headstock hasn't been refinished at all.
Yeah.
Obviously,
yeah, so the headstock looks really old.
Really, yeah. Like the lacquer cracking is excessive on the headstock, so it's a weird, like, wrinkly man's face on the headstock. Crikey. And then, like, the body just looks like a new custom shop.
Yeah,
but it's totally cool.
Nice. It looks nice indeed. Weirdly, because when you post a picture, both Matt and I picked up on the fact there's no serial number on there.
Right.
As like, I think you might have bought something a bit weird. But then you explain it's refinished, and also we did a bit of looking, and the first 52s didn't have
the first 152s did not have serial numbers.
Yeah.
It's mad, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Crazy.
So that is a proper old guitar.
Oh, do you know there's a Reverend Sensei in at the moment
is
as
there?
Well? Yeah, yeah. You'd love it. You should go and check it out. You'd be into it. You'd definitely be into it.
Should we talk about some news that isn't 3 months old?
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
So, Fender announced this week the Joe Bonamassa 59 twin amp. Jay Cross, tell us about it.
Yeah, so it's this is a bit of an unusual one, because this is only available through Joe Bonamassa's personal website.
Very odd.
jbonamassa.com. Which, as far as I'm aware, is the first time.
I wonder who owns jobonamassa.com.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I went to jobo.net the other day, and that is not what I thought it would be.
Good Lord. So, yeah, this is a high-powered 59 twin. It's got JB85 Celestion speakers, which have been specially voiced for this. This amp, and yeah, it's just a super high power. Oh, goodness me, you're right.
Yeah, sorry, I just threw my phone around.
Okay, it's a like a high power, totally point to point hand wired, top of the range twin in everyone's favorite lacquered tweed.
Oh, yes,
it looks absolutely fantastic, but I mean, what do you expect? It's a wicked looking 59 twin. A lot of money, as you'd expect.
How much is a lot of money?
I think it's $4,000. Is that
what I saw? That's too much. It looks
well,
so
good.
Well,
I mean,
though,
you say that, but it's where is it? $3,499 US dollars. So yeah, that probably makes it $3,000
pounds
in pound sterling. And I mean, you say that's a lot of money, and of course it is a lot of money. But how much is a 59 twin going to cost you?
Yeah,
you know, in good nick, probably double that, maybe more.
And also, you know, what's it going to cost you to get something? This is basically, seems like it's custom shop built, point to point.
Yeah, exactly.
If you were going to get this from a boutique manufacturer, you'd probably be paying about the same money. So I don't think it's crazy money. Obviously, it's a lot of money for an amplifier, but for what it is, it doesn't seem too bad. And then, of course, you've got the kind of prestigious thing that you bought it direct from Joe Bo himself.
Yeah, that's, I mean, cool. I can't. I feel bad for when he has to, you know, take these down to the post office and,
yeah,
and
really
collect proof of postage.
When he deals
these
with all the returns, you know, if one pops a tube or problem with the speaker, he's there. Oh God, I'm in the middle of the tour, but I've got to go home and do a bit of soldering. These bastards. It seems like an interesting project, and you know, I think this is more and more the way this sort of thing's going to go. You know, artist tie-ins, perhaps bypassing retailers, whether it's the artist actually making the guitars themselves, well, not making them themselves, but owning the brand or hooking up with brands like Fender to do this sort of thing. I can see more and more of this in the future, little exclusive bits. Joe Branton, tell me about the hand bender.
The Goldo.
I think it's Guldo, because Guldo. There's an umlaut over the first O.
There is an umlaut there.
Guldo.
Guldo. Yes, the handbender. As you may have guessed by the name, this is an alternative to the B-bender, but it's something you can retrofit to your guitar with no adjusting to the bridge. It just attaches to your ordinary bridge. You do have to drill into the body, but you know, a couple of very simple screws and it clips onto the bottom of your bridge, and you have a very effective B bender. So that is a whammy bar that applies only to the B string and allows you to
and pulls it tighter,
yeah,
rather
pulls
than
it tighter
it
rather than loosening it, and will pull your B string up a full tone. Country bends, yeah, which is totally cool. Designed to be very tasteful looking, simple little thing, the hand bender, and designed to be used like with the small finger and just sort of just pulled to pull that string to a taut position. But yeah, cool product if you're into that sort of thing.
So
benders.
I saw a picture of it on a telly. Is it available for anything else? Have you got the website in front of you there?
Yeah, it looks like it is just available for a Telecaster.
Which, so, I guess makes sense if you're, you know, doing country. There's a reason they haven't done a B-bender Strat or a B-bender. Oh, there was a B-bender Les Paul.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Expressing your love can look many different ways. And with the right jewelry gift from Blue Nile, it can truly sparkle. Blue Nile's collection of classic diamond jewelry makes for the kind of gift that speaks volumes without saying a single word. Or switch things up with a sapphire piece sure to spark conversation. Either way, Blue Nile's diamond guarantee ensures you get the highest quality at the best price. Express yourself with Blue Nile, the original online jeweler, at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Do you remember there was a Les Paul special that was a, I want to say, not Chicago Musical Exchange, not...
Musical Exchange?
Yes, yeah, Chicago Music, that's what it's called.
Music Exchange.
Is it?
It's not Musical Exchange. It doesn't like deal in cats and rent.
I thought it was Musical Exchange.
It's music.
Okay. It was a... You'll have to look it up. Some American shop basically had an exclusive on these guitars, but they ended up not selling all of them, so they ended up in the UK.
Yeah, Music City.
Music City.
Yeah, I do remember this, yeah, because we had one when I was working in GAC still.
2P90 single cut Les Paul Junior.
Yep, natural body.
Maple board?
Maple board, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, they looked fantastic.
So, basically
just
a telly.
Well, kind of. I mean, yeah, I guess so.
Weren't they like Swampash body as well?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. They're just a telly in a Les Paul studio shape.
I guess so,
Les Paul,
yeah,
Junior shape, basically.
Very, very cool looking guitar. Yeah. It just had that B bender, which just really put me off it.
Everyone just like picks up and goes, I don't know what
like,
I'm doing.
Oh, wow, what a great looking Les Paul. What's the deal with this? It's like, well, there's a B bend. Oh, okay, no, don't worry about it.
Don't know how it works.
It's quite a specific tool.
It really is, yeah. It really is.
It really doesn't transcend into any other form of music or purpose.
What I think is good about the hand bender, is it will retrofit to a normal telly. So, yeah, you know, you're not necessarily having to dig out a huge gouge out the back of your guitar.
Absolutely.
To fit a regular B-bending
Absolutely.
System.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a sensible sort of modern adaptation on what a B-bender should be. And this is it. No one wants to write off a guitar to sort of try out a B-bender. And this is a nice way of being able to do that. Do this whilst only suffering a couple of screw holes.
I will say, my only thing about this, and I need to look into it a bit more to see exactly what goes on with it, but it seems a bit strange that this is something that retrofits but will still only do the B.
Yeah.
You know, I think it would be cool if you could sort of choose which string or possibly strings this would do. The same way that, because there was, if you remember, there was I can't remember who it was, but there was a guitar that was
Duesenberg
that did a B and a G.
They do a whole system that will do both, but yeah. I think it's a bit more intrusive on the guitar, and also more expensive
for sure. I've no doubt, but it's just, I wonder if there's a way that you could set this up so that it would do, you know, maybe put it here for a B and here for a G, for example.
Sure. I think that the difference is with that also, you know, you had these big chunky levers sticking out where, you know, you couldn't really play over the bridge at that point, whereas this is actually a lot neater.
Sure, oh,
and
completely.
For most people, the bends they're going to be doing are going to be B bends rather than G bends.
I'm more just sort of...
Just telling people how they could do it better and not thinking about how it would actually work.
I'm playing Devil's Advocate. Devil's...
Avocado.
Devil's Avocado.
Joe Branton.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're here for bass-related queries, because something came to our attention in the... Something came to our attention in the Facebook group this week. The Backbeat Bass Backpack.
Oh, yeah.
I might just pop outside for a minute.
I mean, you might as well. I saw this a few weeks previous to this. I think someone had sent it to me, or maybe I saw it on one of these pointless bass forums that I'm on. But yes, the Backbeat Play Bass Feel Bass is their tagline.
I went to the doctor about that once. Feeling totally bass.
Well, this is a Kickstarter where that's currently had 319 backers, and those 319 people evidently feel very differently about it than I do, because between them they have successfully raised £64,326 worth of the £17,800 target.
Is that a 300% increase on their goal?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. That's which is absolutely
bananas.
Absolutely massive. So I've told you it's a Backbeat, listeners. I've told you that it's obviously received massive backing from the people who want it. You're thinking 319 people invested £64,000 in a product. What is this product, Joe? Tell me about it. It must be fantastic. Well, I'm sorry, but this might be the biggest crock of any product in all of history. This is the absolute Mark Bass amp player's wet dream.
Like, so cold.
No, but it's like, it's for bass players. You know how in bass, everyone got obsessed with lightweight stuff, like neodymium speakers. Like, people stopped caring about how something sounded and started caring about how portable it was. You know, we got that sort of revolution in
Good
the bass
voice.
World. It's just ridiculous. But this is the ultimate, like, next step on from this, because this is for bass players. Hey, do you not want to bring an amp at all and just plug into the PA at the front?
Sure, well, to be honest, that sounds great.
Well then, get a Backbeat, because it is a box that you can plug through, so you plug your bass into it and then through out into wherever else you're going, that clips onto your strap and you wear against your back, and it is essentially a PlayStation vibration pad. So
it's a rumble pack.
It's an N64 rumble pack. Yeah, it's an N64 rumble pack for your bass, so that you can feel as if you have an 810 behind you, is the gist of it. But I mean, it just seems like you're getting a mild massage whilst you're playing bass.
The
more you go on about this, the more I'm into it, I've got to say.
Well, I mean, somehow they managed to get it into the hands of Victor Wooten, and he said that it's a good product. And so, like, lots of people have bought it, but, like, you know, you can get... It's $299 with a free case.
That's something small enough to go on your strap needs a case.
I know, it's brilliant. The best part is, for $589, there's a limited edition offer of two packs.
I don't know. This is the thing.
Not the wrapper.
You see this on Kickstarters a lot. It's like, well, you know, just for a little under twice the price, you'll get two. I don't understand. You've only got one bass player in your band. Unless this is one for the front and one for the back.
Oh yeah, you get the real kick. You get the heart massage as well as the back massage.
Can you modify it so that one of these can be turned into a belt buckle? Maybe that's what the second one's for.
Can you make them into a pair of pants? This is going not where we want it to go.
In all seriousness, the way that you've explained it kind of makes sense. It is for people who don't use anything on stage. Think about someone like Meshuggah. You know, there's nothing on stage there. I can't imagine that they would use something like this. No. But it's for bands like that who are relying fully on, triggering through Ableton, using Kempers, using Helixes or something similar, and not having anything on stage. And
you're absolutely right.
Possibly not being able to, not wanting to, or not needing to, or not wanting to rely on any monitors in order So it does kind of make sense. Well, and it's just something so different.
It's just that the idea that this replaces the feel of having an amp behind you, but the vibrations are going to be isolated to such a specific area that doesn't work.
I think the idea is that you pair it up with some in-ear monitors, so you're still getting obviously all the tonality and hearing everything else. It's just to give you that feeling of moving air. I guess the proof is in the pudding, really. And you know, if they wanted to send us one for a review, we can have a look at it. But that's really what it is, because I think a lot of people wear in-ears and they do feel very isolated from what's going on the stage. And to have a bit of that kind of kick, I think, wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing.
It's like a headphone amp as well. You can use it like that.
Yeah,
for practice.
So
you could plug in headphones into it and use it like that.
But I tell you what I feel like they maybe have missed a trick here with is if they had taking it a step further and bridging the gap between what you guys have just said, is if they'd made this a wireless receiver as well.
Yeah.
Obviously that's a lot more money, but if you could make it so that you can plug your in-ear monitors into these and then have your receiver over by the amp or by your DI or whatever it
transmitter,
is.
Transmitter, you mean?
Yeah, well, yeah, but you know, you have that over there, and maybe that then does become a completely viable all-in-one tool. Yeah, I don't know. Interesting. The more that you've explained this, the more I've understood the point of it, actually, and it's less silly than I thought it was to begin with.
My biggest gripe with it is that I don't think this is an original idea. I think there was one about 3 or 4 years ago that was doing the same thing, of a backpack.
I remember there was something... There was
what,
one
like Ghostbusters?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
There was, if I remember correctly, there was one for drummers that was something that you sat on.
Oh no!
Yeah.
That would make me like potentially poop whilst playing.
That product was called the Bum Chum. Believe it or not,
no, it wasn't.
It absolutely was.
It was called the Bum Chum.
Exactly that. Yep.
Can we get one?
No, we should.
Can we get,
move on?
Can we get three for us to sit on, or four, including Matt if he comes back?
He won't.
But if we get four for us to sit on, that works with our voices.
We should just get one of these for Matt, so that when he's listening,
it feels
to the podcast,
like we're in the room.
Yeah, completely.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, we should move on.
You can get a limited edition 4-pack for only $1,400.
Well, there we go. So everyone's really feeling that bass. Yeah. It would make it more enjoyable when you're going, "Noo."
Exactly.
Really, you know.
Listeners, you should get one to listen to our podcast.
Indeed. Let's move
on. It'll be like I'm in the room with
to
you.
To a load of
questions.
Robin says, what do you need for an in-ear monitoring system? What's the basic outlay for a system that is giggable? Probably not this.
What are you talking about?
Well, maybe. Maybe you could get this. So in-ear monitors, I take it no one on this table uses them.
Don't I? Wait, I do.
Do you use in-ear monitors?
Depends on the situation.
What in-ear monitors have you ever used, ever?
My Shure... What are they? SE215s?
For playing a gig?
For recording live videos and stuff,
okay.
I always use in-ears rather than over-the-head headphones.
Okay.
Over-ear headphones. What do you call big headphones?
Headphones.
Headphones, yeah.
Yeah, or I always use in-ears for that.
Full-size headphones.
Yeah.
So what have you got? Shure 425s?
215s.
Okay. Yeah. In terms of wireless monitoring, I actually don't know what's out there at the moment. Probably, there's probably a Shure system. There's probably AKG, I know, do some nice stuff. I'm just going to give a quick shout out because I should.
Here we go.
Westone in-ear monitors, who are an American company who produce some very nice in-ear monitors. And the one that I was going to suggest is the AM Pro series. Now, the reason that I would suggest those is because they're very different to other in-ears. In that, you know, when you see singers on stage and they're like, they've got one ear out and you're like, well, yeah, why are you wearing that? The idea behind that is so they can hear the audience and they can hear the stuff around them. Westone AM series let you do that, but with the headphones in, because they allow ambient noise in, hence AM. They allow ambient noise in.
Ambient noise.
So basically, if you're AM as in ambient.
Moyes.
First two letters. Moyes. Ambient David Moyes. And the idea behind that is that you can still keep the earphones in, but they allow noise in, so you can still hear the audience.
So they're basically some dodgy headphones that don't work properly.
No, they are designed exactly that way. Right. They were designed exactly that way, so to allow ambient noise in. They're designed for singers, basically, so that you can just basically put your voice into the monitors so you can hear yourself really well, but you can still hear the rest of the sound from the band.
But that would be, is that something that just singers need? Would guitarists need that?
Well, no, I mean, anyone could do it, yeah. If you want
isolation, wouldn't you?
Not necessarily, because what you want is to be able to hear yourself.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
The problem with
in-ears,
if
you catch fire and you've got ones that are blocking out sound, you can't hear people screaming.
Well, yeah. The idea is that with in-ear monitors in general, you do feel a bit isolated. So you're not hearing the crowd, you're not hearing, you know, the ambient noise from the stage. And that can be, if you're not used to in-ears or you don't like that, then...
Would you use them for a gig? Just in general, would you ever move to an in-ear monitoring system?
Definitely, 100%.
J-Cross?
Yeah, completely. I mean, I use earplugs. I have to use earplugs. My tinnitus is so bad. Uh-huh. And I would much... But the problem is when you're on stage... In general, my earplugs are fine. I need to get some proper molded earplugs, and maybe that would make a difference. But the ones that I've got at the moment are just sort of generic. They're pretty good, but they're just the dB cut. And I would, whenever I play live with them, I have to wear them because I have to wear them.
Yeah.
But it is better if I can hear everything properly, and I'd much rather move to that sort of system.
Within ears, as long as the mix is right, it's like the same thing.
Oh, completely.
You know, you would be hearing without the headphones in, but turned down.
The thing is it can be quite expensive because first of all, you need a set of decent in-ear monitors. Or you can just use headphones. Some people just want to use headphones. If that's what you want to do, that's fine.
Brad Delson from Linkin Park.
Well, there you go then. Just big old cans. Yep. But then you also need a wireless system, something that will take your signal from where it's from the source to your ears via a wireless cable. Alternatively, if you don't want to go down the route of spending loads of money and getting a big system like that, if you're a relatively stationary musician, so a singer-songwriter or a drummer or a keyboard player or maybe someone who just doesn't move around too much, there is a product called the Fender MXA series. There's the MXA1 and the MXA2, which is a bundle that's put together, which is a set of Fender in-ear monitors combined with a pre-Sonus headphone amp, all in one bundle that allows you to do everything via cables. So it's, you know, it's not something that you're going to be able to jump around with, but you can clip your headphone amp onto the back of your guitar strap, plug your headphones into there. Bob's your uncle. Bloody lovely.
If you want an answer without any corporate shilling from
listen,
either JRI,
these products they're discontinued. There's only residual stock knocking around now. So I it's fine. Very good though.
If you want an answer without any corporate shilling from JRI and you want to do it on the cheap, there is a product called the Mi Audio M6 Pro.
The M6 Pros are very good.
Which is a cheap in-ear that's actually very good. And you could use a Behringer HPA 400 headphone amplifier, which, again, if you're a drummer or someone who doesn't move around very much, it's like a kind of desktop-based headphone amplifier. So perfect for drummers, basically. Have it next to your kit and feed your monitors off that.
Probably not as good as the MX. Say one, though. Sure. Available for less than £130 from some good retailers.
ACS are actually quite good with this as well, because they're molded earplugs, which I have a set of their molded earplugs currently fitted with the 17 decibel cut thingy in them. But you can... those decibel cut things are removable. I don't know the
filters.
The filters. Yeah. So they do like a 10, a 15, a 17, and a 20. But you can also replace them with their drivers and use them with an existing pack. So they're quite a good option for something that's like multi-purpose. So I wouldn't have to go and get a new set of molds if I wanted to move to a high-quality in-ear system.
Matt says, probably been asked before, but what's the history behind the theme music? Any plans to update it?
It definitely needs updating.
So, the history behind the theme music is YouTube Creator Studio. If you go in there and go to, I think it's Tools or Create or something, there's a whole library of free music, and that is where the Guitar Nerds theme tune comes from.
I only discovered this recently. I assumed it was one of Mark's old bands, and
it does sound a lot like Corrigan.
Why do you think I picked it?
Yeah.
The funniest time I ever... Because it is obviously, you know, it's like... copyright free music, and it's used on loads of things. Not quite the bit that we've cut out. We've cut out like a bit that doesn't seem to get used that much, so that's why you might not have heard it. But the best thing I ever heard it on was this video that was on Facebook, and it was about a group of people who have like cardboard wars. So they basically go, right, we've got 100 people on each side, and you've got to dress up as like something made out of cardboard, and then we just run into each other in a big field and like smash together. And I was like, oh, there's the Guitar Nerds theme tune. And yeah, it's just this dude like on a push bike, but like the whole thing, including him, is like dressed up as a cardboard knight with a big pole to smash into someone. I was like, this is nice. That's but yeah, you're right. We should maybe change the theme tune to something a little less generic. But maybe we should take some listener submissions.
It keeps getting suggested we should have some sort of competition between the four of us to who can write the best theme tune. And I just think that is an absolutely horrible idea.
Yeah, that's not gonna. I would rather the listeners do it and try and come up with something good.
I think just let Moog do another
Branton
remix.
Honestly, if you want to send something in, I can't guarantee we'll use it, but if it's good...
I mean, we definitely won't use it.
We might use it.
We'll listen to it and laugh at it.
Yeah, definitely. Or we might play it at the end of a show or something.
Yeah, completely.
If you want to send something in, just send it info@guitarnerds.net. You can send it there or get in touch on the Facebook group, because, you know, it would be cool to have something custom rather than just the free music.
I disagree. I think it's a good statement about what... is coming next.
You're getting a free product that's not very good that you could hear better elsewhere. And that's what the music says, basically. Let's do a couple more questions. Adam says, favourite guitar shape, i.e. Les Paul Telly, and what things about their design could they improve, i.e. those stupid cup jack plates for tellies? Joe Branton.
What was the question?
What are your favourite guitar shapes, and what would you like them to improve?
I didn't think about this one. What is my favourite guitar shape? I guess. Do you know, I'm going through... Oh, I said I bought a guitar.
Yeah.
I bought a Strat. I did buy a Strat.
What Strat did you buy?
I bought a pre-owned...
I think you told us about this a couple of weeks ago.
A classic 50s?
Yeah, Lake Placid Blue.
No, that was the 60s.
Oh, yeah.
No, I was going to get that, but then this one came in cheaper. So, Daphne Blue.
Oh, nice.
Daphne Blue 50s.
They're good.
Strat, yeah.
Yeah, they're really good.
Not the classic player, they're just the classic.
Yeah.
But they're great. It's great.
Is that Nitro? No, it's not. There's some that
the
aren't
classic
Nitro.
Player
classic
is
player,
no,
or
classic
Nitro.
Player aren't Nitro.
Oh, aren't they?
No, there's some within the classic series that are.
Right, I see.
I thought classic player was all Nitro.
No, it's not. No, you're right.
Baja,
they do
classic player.
Limited edition versions
they did. You're right.
Of the
you're
classic
right.
player
yeah, yeah,
that
yeah.
came in Nitro.
Yeah.
Because I've got that jazz bass that I showed you earlier, that Sunburst jazz bass with the black plate that I've just put the Ashtray covers on, that's Nitro because that's the limited edition.
Yeah.
And they come in tweed hard cases on account of it. But yeah, no, I just bought... So I'm going through a real Strat phase. Like, I'm really liking Strats. Like, that demo...
Welcome to middle age, basically. That's what that's called.
Insta Effects was all done on a Strat. I'm really, really into Strats at the moment.
Next, you're going to be going, I've been listening to Eric Clapton Unplugged. I just wonder what you guys think
about it. Well, close to that, I was putting together a little video of the Digitech Crossroads, and I have to say... I don't
Would
know.
It be all
It's an absolutely fantastic pedal.
Did you just do Sultans of Swing?
Oh yeah, that's the wrong song.
That's the wrong song.
Ba-la-ba-da-ba-da.
Exactly like that. But yeah, so you know, traditionally I would have said like a big box jazz guitar because they look cool, like 175s. I don't know if I'd change anything about any of these things.
You'd change nothing about guitars. There's no way you could make them better.
No. I don't know why people would want to change any.
Evertune Bridge.
No, nothing like that. You know, I prefer P basses when they're slab, like slab cut P basses, the old 51. There was just something about that that looks so cool, and it annoys me that Fender don't keep, like, you know, you can get something, you can get every version of a Telecaster and every version of a Strat that there ever was, like with every neck profile they ever released it in,
yeah,
and every body adjustment. But when it comes to basses, like the bass that started the instrument, the bass that was so successful and so important and so loved that it started a whole new section in bands, Fender don't bother to, like, you can get it in custom shop and that's
it. What, the 51?
Yeah.
I just don't think they've... I mean, my experience of them from being in... working in a guitar shop...
They don't sell
just,
very well.
They weren't very popular.
Yeah.
You know, that reverse pick card is weird.
The reverse pick
card? It's not reverse.
It's not reverse, but like, it goes up and
it goes over
down.
Both horns. No, it's both horns.
It goes like...
It's just a bit of a weird bass. And yeah, I mean, as I say, my experience is they just never sold very well.
Yeah. I keep looking at one, like a relict one on the Fender Custom Shop website, and just thinking, I should just get one of these.
Why don't you just consolidate all your stuff and get that?
Well, I could do, couldn't I? I've got so much stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I will get a Custom Shop. I can't decide between the Sean Hurley P bass and a 51, but I'd love to get a 51. That's got to be the ultimate bass shape, is an uncut 51 P bass.
I'm going to be really boring and follow the example that was on actually given in the question, is that I hate the Tele cup jack socket. It is the worst bit of design that I can think of on a guitar, because the guitar is so good, just the standard Tele, and then you're like, I'm just going to plug my jack in. Oh wait, yeah, no, it's completely fallen in inside the guitar. And I don't really understand how they've got away with doing them for so long, because modern guitars have still got them, right? Like an American
some
professional.
Some of them do, yeah. I mean, there's been a slight change in that some of them have got, I think they've got like a lock, like a self-locking thing inside.
And there's also
now
that like recessed one that's like just a little dome that has the two screws in the side, which is a bit better, but I don't understand why is it not just a jack, like, to the outside. I don't really understand why they've never gone, right, this is the standard now. Because there's plenty of other Teles that just have that and don't have the kind of egg cup in there. It's just awful. Jay, what's your example?
But there are loads of like unsuccessful jacks on Fender, like the P bass jack, which are
Jack Cassidy.
But the P bass
Jack Bruce
jack input is always rubbish because it's attached to a plastic
scratch plate.
Kind of
like bounces up and down every time you plug in and out.
So you sort of rip your... It's the only bass I have that I have to, you know, repeatedly get the jack sorted, like reattached on the inside because it falls out. And I guess that would happen with any other instruments that have a flat jack input on the plastic scratch plate.
It does just kind of clunk in there and you never feel like, this is going to last forever. Jay, any thoughts?
So... I'm turning this question on its head slightly, in that what I had always wanted to see was a double cut Tele, because I love Les Paul double cuts, love Les Paul Junior double cuts, and I love Telecasters, and I just, what I really wanted was a double cut Tele, and then one came out, Fender made one whilst we were still working at GAC, and it was all right. You know,
I hate that shape. I absolutely hate that shape.
It just wasn't quite what I wanted it to be. I remember like when it came out, I was so enthusiastic about it, and I really loved it, and I really wanted one. And then it didn't. It had like the Strat bridge. It didn't have the sort of, you know, the proper 52 bridge and this, that, and the other. And it was just a couple of things. And yeah, so this for me is more a case of what did happen and then I didn't want.
Yeah.
The other thing is I just wish that Gibson would do a proper double cut Les Paul Junior.
They do. It is $3,499. Well,
but the normal double cuts, they just don't look right.
No, and it's
just
wrong.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what it is that's wrong about it, but something is wrong with, if you look at a, I mean, even the one that I've got, which is a Junior Special from 2005 or something, you look at that and that looks, it looks cool, but the modern ones have got like a,
the top horn is like curved over in a way that's
weird. I don't know what it is
about
the top horn, but there's something wrong with it.
I sort of don't understand how they haven't just looked at it and gone, oh, that's not right, is it?
Yeah, I don't know. There's something a little bit skew-whiff with it, and I just wish they do. Yeah, that's for me is the big thing, is a proper Les Paul Junior. A proper, affordable Les Paul Junior double cut.
Definitely, definitely. With that, we should wind this up. We are going to talk about something very special over on this week's Patreon episode. Remind me of the name of it, Jay?
It is Russell Crowe, The Art of Divorce.
This is Russell Crowe's auction, where he's auctioning off a load of guitars and a load of other stuff, and we're going to run down some of the lots. And I assume it's because he's getting divorced.
I guess so.
I mean, we looked at Wikipedia and it said married to this person until 2017. So, yeah, we're going to be talking Russell Crowe's guitars basically over on Patreon. If you want to hear that, patreon.com/guitar nerds, where from as little as $1 a month, you can support the Guitar Nerds podcast. At $1 a month, you get the regular episode ad-free and early. And at $5 a month, you get an extra half an hour where we talk about sort of irreverent stuff usually, like Russell Crowe. At the $10 a month price point, you get your name read out on the regular episode by Joe Branton in one breath.
There's more
like
people.
These people have. There's another person added to the list this week. The more people who sign up to this, the harder it gets for you to do and the funnier it gets for everyone listening.
There's also, just as a, before you kick off here, I've noticed that there are, in this list, there are five people whose names start with Rob.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like it would be really, I don't really want to mix it up because I like it. I kind of,
I
like,
I think
it
at the moment it's in the order that people have signed up.
Agreed. Should we exclude people called Rob?
No, quite the opposite. I think it'd be really funny if they were all together, because you already struggle with the three, with Robin Smith, Rob Nordvik and Rob Grant. You already struggle with the three of them in a row.
Here's the answer. We don't move it around, but this week only people called Rob are allowed to sign up, and we need maybe 5 or 10 people called Rob to make this really work. So if your name is Rob and you've been thinking,
or Robin,
or Robin, or Robert,
Robbie,
or Roberta,
yeah, Robert, yeah,
anything like that.
Rubinho, if he listens.
If Rubinho is listening and he wants to sign
we'll
up,
give you the first month free, mate.
Rabona, the guy that invented the kick that goes the other
okay,
way.
Yeah, that's R.A.B. But
Rab owner. If yeah. Rab C. Nesbitt wants
Rab
to
Rab C. Nesbitt,
get involved,
yeah, yeah.
Please do sign up. You're the only people allowed to sign up this week. Everyone else, you have to hold off a week. Not really. You can sign up whenever you want. We'll just shuffle it around. But if you're named Rob and if you've been thinking about signing up, this week is the week to do it. Yeah. So should we get this underway then?
Let's
you've got an extra
it.
Name this week. See if you can do it in one breath. I think you struggled last week, whether it was late.
I was including commentary on each person as well.
Yeah.
Which
not sure about that.
No, I think you just need to get through the
next. Listen, that's the $15 tier.
All right.
We should do that Eric Clapton song.
Okay.
Robert Cousins, Rob Grohl, Nate Nagel, Tucker Hamilton, Darren Corbyn, Henry James Baker, Christopher Ramsey, Jay Norma, Matt Roberts, David Lee, Derek Britson, Marty Cliff, Matt Davis, Aaron Sherman, Blake Whalen, Jake Gray, Christopher Lawson, Ron Correa, Scott Kennedy, Robin Smith, Rob Norvig, Rob Grohl, Derek Rich, Chris Connors, Andy Joyce, Carlos Manchester, Steve Michael Blair, Tobbs, Mark Cross, Brad Pace, J.D. Short, Andy McKenzie, Laurie Yester Jack, Godfrey Paul, Corrigan, Will, Claire, Scott O'Brien, Phil, Johnson Moore, Graham, Colin Anderson. I could keep going with all the names if I wanted to, but I might just stop because I can't really breathe and it is really getting difficult. But that's at least another 10 names. I could probably make another 10 names, and that's 20 names. Now I could do another 10, and that would almost be 30 names. Now if you want to sign up, I could definitely get it up to 40 extra names. I think I could even make the 50 mark.
Blimey, I thought you were going to die.
Smoke weed every day.
If you want more quality content like this, do go to the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at guitar nerds, and you can go to youtube.com/guitar nerds videos. Not sure when the podcast is happening next week. It might be on the Tuesday, so it might be a bit late because it is WrestleMania, so we're taking the Monday off to watch that. So yeah, maybe Tuesday, but maybe Sunday, maybe it'll be early, who knows. Exciting stuff. Thanks very much, and we'll see you at some point next week.
Cheers, gang.
Bye.